We are at session 12 today of the Connections program, our seminar, our spiritually based seminar for stress and worry and depression. And last week we spoke about an exercise. We're talking about spiritual connection now. We've already entered that, and today is going to be the second of five sessions on spiritual connection, which is very exciting. Last week we spoke about an exercise involving relying on God in a daily activity, such as turning on a light or standing up from your chair or writing from a pen. And the idea is to cultivate some awareness of spiritual involvement for us to be successful in our activities. And I hope that people have enjoyed that activity and that having a little more spiritual connection on a day-to-day basis. So what I thought we'd do now is do a brief review on the basics of a spiritual connection, which we spoke about a little bit last week. And in terms of, we talked about it having two components. We talked about experiencing God's presence in our lives and fulfilling God's will. That those are the two main components of spiritual connection in general. And we said we're going to be spending two sessions on each of the components. Experience God's presence, we're going to be speaking about that today and then next week. And then fulfilling God's will are going to be the last two sessions in the spiritual connections module. And then we'll have one final session for the end of the whole program, actually. So with regards to experiencing God's presence in our lives, we spoke about this last week, and just to go over it, that this is much deeper than faith. It's not just a matter of belief in something greater. This involves having a palpable sense, an emotional sense, that God is intimately involved in running the world in general and our daily lives in particular. This is a way to have deep and real spiritual connection by perceiving not only that God exists, but God's interaction with us throughout day-to-day life. And that is the goal of experiencing God's presence and one of the main ways to achieve spiritual connection. And there are lots of different facets to experiencing God's presence. In the program, we're going to focus on two. One is what we're going to focus on today, recognizing that human beings have a limited scope of control, And the second is recognizing order and design in the world, which we'll be speaking about in session 13. The other main component of spiritual connection is fulfilling God's will. And just as experiencing God's presence, it's not about faith, well, fulfilling God's will, it's not about religious doctrine or culture. Those might be facets of it, but it's not the main thing even. The idea here is to connect to God by committing to do whatever we assess God wants. That doesn't matter whether spiritual or even secular. There might be certain secular things that we engage in which are tremendous potential and God's will. An even greater ticket to spiritual aspect of practice.
You're cutting in and out.
Oh, hold on. Hello?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So where did I lose you?
We heard just, skipping a word here and there, so.
Okay, for fulfilling God's will. So let's go back to that. Just as experiencing God's presence is not about faith, so fulfilling God's will, it's not about religious doctrine or culture. Sometimes it might be. There might be aspects of religious doctrine or culture which are ways to fulfill God's will. But the bigger thing here is to do whatever we determine God wants of us, whether that's a spiritual activity or a secular activity. And we're going to discuss in session 14 how to determine what it is that God wants of us. We're going to talk about developing a godly vision for ourselves in session 14. And there are also a lot of facets to this, but in sessions 14 and 15, we're going to speak about, again, developing a godly vision and also exerting heroic efforts for God, being heroic in our efforts to fulfill God's will. Now, another note that we talked about last week. How's the connection, David? It's okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Another note is that spiritual connection is the easiest to describe of all three areas of connection, but it's actually the most difficult to put into into practice.
Unfortunately, it's cutting out again.
Hold on. Let's try that again. How about now?
No, it's still cutting out.
Hold on. Okay, how about now?
Well, so far, so good.
Okay. So I guess we are definitely exerting heroic efforts today to try to make this work. So we talked about spiritual connection being the easiest to describe of the three areas, but actually the hardest to put into practice. And the reason why is because experiencing presence, God's presence, and fulfilling God's will are actually very difficult to do simultaneously. The more we have a sense of God's presence, the harder it is to try to exert heroic efforts for God, because the more we're aware that human efforts to produce change are actually insufficient, and that all ultimate outcomes are ultimately in God's hands. So if we're experiencing God's presence, then it can be a block to developing a godly vision for oneself and exerting efforts, because what's the point? Conversely, the more we have a clear vision for ourselves and exert heroic efforts to make a difference in the world, the harder it is to relinquish control and to recognize that God is involved in daily affairs. It's harder to realize that we have a giant chasm between what we do and the results. Usually, in other words, and I don't think I spoke about this last week, but I'll say it now, people are usually good at one or the other, but not both. And that means it takes away from their spiritual connection. People are either good at, I have a job to do in this world, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can and make it happen, or God is in charge, everything's going to be okay, you know, I'm going to, you know, ultimately there's nothing I can do. And those two aspects of spiritual connection, to have them simultaneously, is very rare, and that is the goal here. Because in terms of connection, spiritual connection involves both of them, having a clear sense that God is present and involved, and exerting maximal efforts to fulfill God's will. One or other is a good start, but it's not enough to live and feel spiritually connected day to day. Okay, so let's move on to spiritual connection part one, which is recognizing our limited scope of control. This is part of recognizing experiencing God's presence. And I do want to warn, this is going to be a scary session. There's some aspects of this which are pretty terrifying. Okay, let's start off lightly, though. Okay, everybody's on the call, and everyone who's listening to this recording. Start by lifting your arm and waving your fingers. Just lift your arm in the air just above your head, and just wave your fingers gently back and forth. Now, you can stop doing it, don't worry. You don't have to do it for the whole session. There are so many physiological and biological and neurological chemical processes, and they all have to work precisely in order for you to do that simple act of lifting your arm up and waving your fingers. Now let me ask you, how many of those processes are under your control? How many people control their blood flow, their connective tissue, their neurological impulses, the chemical processes which are necessary in order to fire off neurons to let the whole thing happen. The bones, keeping the bones intact. The answer is almost zero, maybe even zero. And if this is the case for a simple activity like waving your fingers, then imagine something more complex like playing piano or making dinner, or something even more complex like speaking or writing, which involves incredible brain circuitry, or interpersonal behaviors, which not only involve our behavior, but somebody else, and taking in that information and then synthesizing it into a meaningful representation of reality, and then responding with a constellation of behaviors that we call communication, but is really so multifaceted between verbal and nonverbal cues and everything. So that's just in terms of our behavior. But even more, think about almost every major factor that shapes our experience. That's also beyond your control, our control. How many people who are on the line right now chose when, where, and whether they should be born? I know the answer is zero. How many people chose their parents? How many people chose the economic or social or emotional circumstances into which they were born? Or the time period in history in which they emerged? Or who their friends were growing up? Who was born to other families in the same time period? In the same year, the same fiscal year, whatever. how many people chose their teachers when they were growing up, or chose where they lived? And the more we think about it, the clearer it is that essentially we can have virtually, I mean, it seems like day to day we might have some control over things, but really, ultimately, we virtually have no control over the fate and fortune in our lives. Now, I want to clarify that the connections paradigm is not fatalistic. On the contrary, we're going to see very clearly in sessions 14 and 15 how human free will to make choices is integral. It's an integral part of spiritual connection. And I'm not advocating for people to give up and to not do anything at all, not at all. But we have to recognize, just in terms of the plain facts on the table, that there is a very limited scope of choice. We do have choice, but it's a very limited scope. We can choose our behavior to a large degree, not entirely, we can choose it to a large degree, but we have very little control, if any control, over our context. We have very little control over our outcomes. Almost all things, in fact, that shape our real fortune in life, whether that's health, wealth, success, spiritual access to spiritual wisdom, they are not within the domain of free will. They are not within human control. Consider also as this, the following, that most people walk around with a very false sense of security. We think that things are ultimately safe, but once in a while, God steps in and he disturbs that dream. He makes it clear that we're not secure. The reality day to day, in addition to the fact that we don't have control over our fate primarily, is that we are so vulnerable. We are dangerously and frighteningly vulnerable at all times. We do have a choice whether to exert efforts, how to exert efforts, but the achievement of goals is completely beyond our scope of control. From health to wealth to success and beyond, there are so many factors that we have zero power over. I'll just give you one example. Let's say somebody's a paragon of cardiac health. They can run a mile in 6 minutes. They are a marathon champ many times over. It doesn't mean that they're not going to die early from a heart attack. It decreases the odds, but it doesn't mean it's a guarantee. Furthermore, we assume day to day that it's going to be safe to walk outside. We assume that our air and our water are going to be free of diseases and poisons. We assume that electricity is going to work, or that our banks are going to keep our money safe. Let me ask you, how many people on the line now use electronic banking as opposed to having bars of gold sitting in a safe somewhere? Most people today do not have jewelry or even a safety deposit box at all, but they certainly don't have gold sitting somewhere under their mattress or in a safe. And if they do, it's a small portion of what they have. Most people use electronic banking. How many people you hear use Gmail? So we assume that Gmail is going to continue to store our emails and our documents and have all of our, not just our pictures, but some pieces of information that we need for functioning day to day. Or what about there being adequate food in the supermarkets? I know that something I take for granted, something that I assume that we're always going to have, or that there's going to be adequate gas to power our vehicles. But if you read through handout 12A, every single event in handout 12A could easily happen at any time. And nothing on that list is science fiction or fantasy. It's very possible that there are sinkholes that swallow buildings, or that's an earthquake, or that the national banks in major countries devalue currency, or that supermarkets just aren't able to deliver food, or that related to current events here, at least in the United States, that the temperatures will rise. You know, right now we're in the 90s. Well, what if it went up to 120 for a week? Now, this seems to be bad news because it leaves us with really two possibilities. One, we can realize the truth about our vulnerability, and we can rely on nothing, and then we can be constantly afraid. Or two, we can deny the truth, at least like I do, day to day, and walk around and assume that the bank is going to be a safe place and the Gmail is going to be safe and electricity is going to work. But the latter isn't really an option because at some point in time, things happen. We get a rude awakening, and then we end up back in fear. So according to the connections paradigm, there's a third option. Instead of just realizing the truth and walking around paralyzed all the time, pretending that everything is going to be fine and being deluded, we can recognize that we have a limited scope of control, and we can do what we started last week, which is not relying on physical means, but relying on something spiritual, relying on God. Now, I want to be clear again. Exerting maximum efforts to make sure that things are safe and things are functioning well, that is part and parcel of spiritual connection. I am not saying that people should give up because there's no point. We'll talk about that a lot in sessions 14 and 15. But learning to rely on God is in a connected way, that means that is part and parcel of spiritual connection. Here's one way to do this. Rabbi Kellerman taught me this visualization, and I think it's a really great one. And it might be because initially he's from Los Angeles. So in a movie set, you have light switches that are in the walls. You have a wall with a light switch, but there's no wiring. The light switches don't control the lights. In fact, they aren't even connected to the lights at all. There are no wires, like I mentioned. And you have an actor who walks into the house, which is in a movie set, it's not really a house, and they flip on the light, and what ends up happening? How does the light go on? Well, there's a lighting guy. The lighting guy is sitting in the lighting booth, and the lighting guy turns on or off the lights. And it produces this illusion that the switch is connected, but really it's just this correlation. There's no causation between flipping the switch and the light going on. So similarly, we can choose to view the world as a movie set, that we go through the motions, but ultimately we're not in control. Ultimately, there's a spiritual being that controls everything that happens. In other words, there's a, if you will, lighting guy. Spiritual connections, a spiritual connections approach to experiencing God's presence in our daily life actually answers the conundrum we were describing before. Because if we recognize, we choose, rather, to depend on God by recognizing that the physical world is nothing more than an expression of spiritual reality, that pulls us into a relationship and keeps us from feeling fear. I have a vivid imagery that comes to my mind personally. I guess I'm just being autobiographical. Whenever I cross the threshold onto an airplane, and I've traveled a fair bit the last, you know, 5-6 years, so this happens more than I'd like. Whenever I cross the threshold onto an airplane, I realize that I'm putting myself in God's hands, that within a matter of sometimes minutes or certainly 10, 20, 30 minutes, I'm going to be cruising at 10,000 feet, 20,000 feet, sometimes 30, 35,000 feet, and completely and utterly vulnerable, sometimes crossing a sea, crossing the ocean. And if there's one lightning storm or bad experience or something, then, you know, it could end up either, you know, making an emergency landing in Nova Scotia or something potentially even worse. And I choose at that moment to rely on God, to put myself in a state of spiritual connection by pulling myself into a relationship and saying, God, I'm in your hands. I choose that as a moment to propel myself and to catapult myself into a state of spiritual connection. That's just my autobiographical use of these principles. According to the connections paradigm, one reason for our inherent uncertainty and lack of true security is because, well, God wants us to have spiritual connection. This is by design. We're in a precarious set of circumstances because that calls for connection. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing that sinkholes could happen or that banking could devolve or that, you know, gravity could reverse or that temperatures could go up to 120 degrees. It's a good thing because it means I'm in need of divine assistance, and that creates a natural drive on my part, on our part, to seek refuge in connection with God, to seek spiritual connection. As long as we don't quash that natural tendency and turn away, it's actually fairly easy to develop. And if we want to have closeness, spiritual closeness, then we can capitalize on the opportunity. We can sense that we are in danger by recognizing the limits of our control and by conjuring up day to day how reliant we are. In practice, what does this look like? So there's a couple things that come to mind again. Imagine a secret agent, you know, like a James Bond kind of guy, walking into enemy territory and having complete faith that despite being under immense danger, there's going to be protection. Or a soldier who's about to walk into battle and sitting in a helicopter, about to be deployed into enemy, to face terrifying enemies, and having a sense that he'll be protected. Or imagine a lady who's breathing through excruciating pangs of childbirth and holding in mind that God, not the doctors, are going to deliver her and her baby. These are just a couple of examples. And of course, they're not starting points for learning to rely on God. I mean, for some people on the line, you might be secret agents or, you know, expectant mothers. But I don't think these are starting points. Usually we start off small and then build up. Emotionally speaking, one of the ways to develop spiritual connection is to rely on spirituality, to rely on God when things are actually easier. To do it in day-to-day life, like we were doing last week, but we're going to throw in another twist. The twist involves prayer. One of the things that can pull us into a state of spiritual connection is not only recognizing our limited scope of control, but praying to God that we should be delivered and safe. Prayer is an inherent part of developing spiritual connection because, A, it comes from a place of recognizing, well, at least request prayer, asking God for help, comes from a place of recognizing that we're not in control, but also of cleaving out, reaching out to our spirituality in order to have a connection, relationship with God to recognize and to capitalize on the opportunity in order to develop a relationship. So we started this exercise last week of relying in God while engaging in simple day-to-day activities. We talked about having a sense that God is involved when we turn on the light, or when we stand up, or when we write, or when we do put food into our mouth, or whatever it is. And by doing those activities each day, we can cultivate an awareness that God is involved. And we can generate a rich resource to draw from in times of need. But I want to take it a step further today. Here's the exercise. The exercise involves this. Thinking about a current situation in your life that you either tend to worry about or could worry about, something that really is dangerous. Now, everybody has this. It could be a medical situation that you are facing or might be facing. It could be the potential for a medical situation that you or maybe a family member. It could be a political situation that you might be in, that you could be if you're going to visit a foreign country, for example. It could even be stepping onto an airplane. It could be a business deal that you're considering doing or that you're in the middle of doing. And it's important to, here's the step in the exercise that's crucial, is to describe very vividly what would happen if the situation were to go badly. What were the consequences that would have if the plane wouldn't make it, if the medical results weren't good, if, you know, the business wouldn't go as well as you hope? And if those were to happen, what would occur? Keep asking yourself the question, what would occur, until you have a palpable sense of anxiety and stress. Use your emotions here to guide the process and to allow yourself to feel afraid. And after envisioning the worst that could happen, or at least enough to make you feel scared, envision that God's in charge and pray for help. Pray for protection. That is the exercise. It's to create, to harness a sense of fear and to use that to catapult us towards spiritual connection by cleaving to our spirituality and praying. So the new homework is, once each day, recognize our limited scope of control by contemplating a situation that we are vulnerable. To specifically spend a full 60 seconds on the clock imagining a scenario or a situation that could go very, very badly, and picturing in detail the terrible consequences that could occur if that worst-case scenario were to materialize. And then, after a full minute of envisioning the worst, pray to God, even for 10 seconds, for help and protection. That is a new exercise. So, on our charts, we have charting. We have this exercise number 12, recognizing our limited scope of control that I just talked about. We have exercise 11, relying on God during a simple activity. That's the one from last week. And we have an exercise from our interpersonal connection, exercise 10, visualizing remaining connected to others, that visualization exercise also. And those are our three exercises that we're doing the next week. Next time we meet, we're going to be plowing ahead with session 13, which is also about recognizing God's role in our life. We're going to be talking about the next facet of that, which is recognizing order and design in the world. And that's a less scary session, but definitely another rewarding one.